I'm preaching my last message as senior pastor. And to preach with big four canon over here. You got Pastor Mike, Pastor Yin, Pastor Richard, Pastor Patrick. It's quite stressful. You know, I didn't sleep till 5 a.m. this morning. Not because I'm so excited about what is taking place, but because I got a cup of coffee from Joanna and I could not sleep. But His grace is sufficient enough for me. I humbly stand before you as your senior pastor for the past 32 years. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of serving our Lord Jesus Christ and you at GCC. It has been a humbling and learning journey for my wife and I as we serve at GCC. We did not have the experience or the know-how, but just a heart of love and service for God and the GCC family. I must tell you, by His grace and His grace alone. So last week, Pastor Richard's sermon was very powerful. It's all about His sufficient grace that I'm able to serve these 32 years. Thank God, I'm still of a sound mind. A little burnout, but still much in love with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Still believe the church is first and foremost a family. And Grace City Church is an important family to both my wife and me. 32 years. Have I ever thought of giving up? To say never or no would be an outright lie. And you know that pastor should not and must not lie or even exaggerate. Sometimes I want to give up, but what stopped me from doing it is this five, it's not this 5P. It's not power, it's not position, it's not privilege, it's not pay. I have all of that when I was in the corporate world, not in Singapore, but in Australia. I have all that. I have climbed the top ladder. What stopped me from wanting to give up? And also, I must tell you, it was not preaching. I know some people like to preach and desire to preach a lot. It was never there. I know my weakness in preaching. And I also know what the Bible says from James, teacher, be careful. You will be judged more harsher than the hearer. So what stops me from giving up in these 32 years? Let me tell you. It is the committed face of the faithful in GCC. Amen. They are the one. They are the one that is indeed my joy and my inspiration that make every testing, every trial, every temptation worth facing and endure to the end. And another motivation is this word called responsibility. I remember a few weeks when the church started, my pastor friend from Adelaide came, stayed in my house, and he said this to me, Steward, you do not know what you get yourself into. Don't you have nothing to do than pioneer a church? Responsibility say, how I live, what I do, what I say as a servant at GCC is important. It's not my life, my choice. When I say yes to the Lord, it is His life, my choice. I choose to serve Him, and I do not want to be a stumbling block to anyone at GCC. It's a heavy responsibility that I bear each day before God and you. I'm able to do it for 32 years because of the incredible grace of God. The support of my dear wife. She is my critic, my checker, my conscience, but thank God, not my neck. A great pastoral team, Pastor Cara, I tell you, she is worth diamond. Yes. Henry, don't forget to get her a diamond ring. And Pastor Jim, young and talented, who have such a heart for God and for God's people. And of course, the church board, the faithful leaders. And this church is full of willing volunteers. I want you to know, you are the people that make my extra mile pastoral experience a delight and joy. Thank you. Thank you again for laboring and serving with me at GCC. The early part of GCC, we were blessed with overseas students that makes GCC their home. GCC was their family. Most of them returned home and still serving the Lord. I was told that one of them was saved as a student here and now is a pastor in the Methodist Church. This is what we call influence. We co-planted three churches in Chiang Rai, India, with Grace Singapore, one in Konkan, Thailand, by ourselves. We have given more than 425,000 to mission in the last 10 years. Think about it. Since the day we started in 1992, how much has this church given to mission? We may not be a large church, but we can be influential in what we are and who we are. We support the orphanage at night for 10 years and still supporting them. We started a Burmese and Indonesian service for a few years and later released them. We planted a church at Nonamara, later became a campus. And after 16 years of faithfully laboring, we merged there because of COVID. These are just the glimpses of the GCC story. Truly, we are not a passive church. We are not a self-centered church, but rather we are a church with a mission under God. And I know that all these are only possible because we serve a great God. And the faithfulness of the committed saints. I call that saints at GCC. Sometime, we must remember our history, like God remind Israel of their history, so that we do not forget the journey of His faithfulness. History comes from the word to know. It is important and vital for the next generation to know their history. Their history, their roots, for their identity, purpose, calling, destiny, shaping values, where they come from and where they are going. I have seen some leadership transition in Australia churches where they discard history for a new beginning. And the outcome is disaster. Because history makes us who we are. We learn from history, for there is nothing new under the sun. We build on history because they are landmark of His grace, His story of who God is and what He has done. And we grow with history. They are inspiration for what is possible in God and with God. GCC must embrace her history, which is His story in us, His story for us, and His story to us. We have a rich history under God to build on, and these are ancient landmarks of God's faithfulness that we must never discard them for individualism, the spirit of this world, but rather embrace our history in faith, hope, and love. For truly in God and God alone, the best is yet to come. Amen. Where's my PowerPoint? I didn't notice the PowerPoint was there. You know, a few weeks after the church was started, I was reading the Bible and I came across a passage. And like most pastors, when you come across a passage, say, there is a good passage to preach. And I was there. This is a great passage for future sermon. But the moment when I said that, alone in my room, study room, the moment I said that, I sensed a very deep impression in my heart, as if God Himself was present, with this voice saying to my heart, you cannot preach this passage. You must live your life as is in this passage, as one day when you pass the baton to the next person, it was very clear, one day, but I never know that one day was 32 years later. When you pass that baton to the next person, you must be able to stand before all with a clean and good conscience. And no one can point a finger at you. For 32 years, I carry these verses in my heart, and I humbly lead you from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 2 and verse 3. This is what Samuel said to the people. Samuel said, and it was a time of transition from the judge to the first king, Saul. It was transition time. And Samuel stand before the Israelite, and he said this, Now look at me. I am old and gray. Look at me. I am 67 years old. I have led you faithfully from my youth. That was Samuel. For me, it was 32 years. Until this very day. Look at me. Do you have any complaint to bring before God and His anointed? Have I ever stole so much as an ox or a donkey? Have I ever taken anything from any one of you? Have I ever taken advantage of you, cheat or exploit you? Have I ever oppressed you? Have I ever taken a bribe and pervert justice? That means, have I ever played favorite with any of you? You know, I have never seen those that have and are rich more important than those that don't. I treat everybody the same. I have one rule for all. Not one rule for you and a different rule for myself and my family. Samuel, tell the people, the Israelite, tell me and I'll make what's right, whatever I have done wrong. And I'm standing before you, this 32 years. If you have anything to say that I have not done correctly, please tell me. And I apologize. Because for 32 years, this has been something that was laid upon my heart. And I try to live by Him. Indeed, in the past 32 years, God has blessed us with people, finance, and building. And we are in a good position to trust God for what's next for GCC under the new senior pastor, Aaron Tan, and his team. He may be a Tan, we are not related. It's not dynasty transfer. I understand that I am the planning pastor of GCC. I am like David, laying the foundation for his successor, Solomon. I knew that everything we have was never mine. I was just a caretaker to start to build and to pass the baton. Not the cane, the baton to the next pastor to continue to build GCC for His glorious name, for the next generation, for our children and our children's children. Because God is covenantal, and we want to see our children and our children's children continue in faith, hope, and love. This is the dream. This is the desire of the founding pastor, and he has always been the hallmark of Grace City Church. Today, I will impart the word of encouragement from David to Solomon. And I'll impart it to Pastor Aaron, the team, and the GCC family from 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord my God is with you. He will not fear you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. 40 years King David has ruled the kingdom. Now his time is about to end. And a new leader, a new era under the leadership of Solomon is about to begin. This is called what? Transition. The passing of the baton from one to the next, from David to Solomon. The same pattern is seen from the passing of the baton from Moses to Joshua, from Elijah to Elisha, from our Lord to his disciple, from Apostle Paul to Timothy. And this passing of the baton is like a relay race. In a relay race, there is a critical moment when the baton gets passed to the next runner. That critical moment is that 20 meters. The first 10 meters, the second runners start to pick up. And within that 20 meters, that baton must be passed. And you know, a lot of things can go wrong. If the baton drop, the team may miss and lose. But passing the baton successfully keep the team moving forward in the right direction with momentum from the early runner to the finish line. How about within that 20 meter when the second runner run and the baton was not passed to him and he keep on running? You see, one of the things that people are afraid of, in which I have assured Pastor Aaron, when I hand it to you, you don't have to worry about me. I have grew up understanding what is it to be under authority. When I hand it to him, he's a senior pastor. I work under him. That is the teaching of Jesus Christ. And if we cannot swallow that, then we miss the teaching of Jesus Christ. So it is possible for the second runner to run without the baton. He will be disqualified, but you will have the baton. You know, as first runner, I give everything I got. I have poured out my heart and soul into GCC as a drink offering to the Lord. And now is the time to pass the baton to the next runner. And I know there are better and capable leaders, better and capable leaders than me. And my wife always say, why do you want to sit there? That's the truth, I told her. It still passes me why God calls me to do His work. They say, when angel fear to tread, fools jump into it. And I think I'm a fool. But I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm a fool for Jesus Christ. And I'm confident that Pastor Aaron is one of them who will be able to do a better job than me. Not because I put pressure on him, because God's grace is sufficient. In the short windows of 20 meters in the passing of the baton, the board and I have intentionally prepared Pastor Aaron for this new role for a time such as this. We recruited him in February 2022, and since that time, we have slowly but surely and steadily energized him, empowered him, encouraged him, enable him to fill the role of senior pastor at GCC. We want to position Pastor Aaron for success. His success is our success. His failure is our failure, as highlighted in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. If one part suffer, all parts suffer. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. I have intentionally decreased that Pastor Aaron can increase in the last 11 months. Notice, I intentionally get him to do the bandage here every Sunday. Because it's not about me, never about me. It's about the church, Grace City Church, that is purchased by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say we love Christ the head, we must love and protect GCC, the body. I thank the board and the GCC family for getting behind the transition so beautifully and so wonderfully. You know, when I think of who I should thank, there are so many. So many of you. Some of you have been here since the church started and you are still here. Some of you have been here for 20 years, for 10 years. As you have faithfully supported me, I ask you to extend the same support to Pastor Aaron and his dear wife, Yvonne. Today, as the baton is passed to Pastor Aaron, I want to give him the same three promises of God that David gave to Solomon. Every new era will bring new challenges, new changes, new opportunity, but it will also inspire new champion. May you be a new champion to live in faith, hope, and love in the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the three promises of God for Pastor Aaron and the team and the GCC family. They are, His strength empowers you to do. David's first word to Solomon were, be strong and courageous and do the work. Be strong and courageous were the same word given to Moses, Joshua, Hezekiah. Each time when God calls his children, his leader to do something, he always say, be strong and courageous, for there is a job for you to do. Yep. Be strong and courageous is the command, because Christ in you is strong and you are to live and work in his strength. Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 said this, Be strong, be empowered, be enabled, be strengthened in the Lord by your what? How do you do it? By your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which is boundlessly might provide. Our strength comes from no other source than God. When you are weak, Pastor Aaron, say, God, you are my strength. When you do not know, say, God, you know. The word to Solomon was not just be strong and courageous. It follows by now two words, to do. In our translation, it means get to work. There is no lazy bone in the kingdom of God. Say amen. Amen. Get to work. How do you start a job, keep on the job, and finish the job? It's never easy because some people, their biggest problem is they cannot get started. They do not know how and they don't know when to get started. Some people is that they know how to start, but they cannot continue doing. How many of you have met such a people? Half project. Some people is that they don't finish what they started. God called Solomon to build his house. It is God's will, and God said, do it, and I will give you the strength to do it, because it is not by your own strength, it is by my strength. And Solomon, when you start to do, that is the key. The key of Christianity is start to what? To do. Because it is faith, exercising of your faith. When you start to do, then I'm able to empower you and continue to empower you to do. God has called every one of us here to be builders. Builders of God's home, builders of God's kingdom, builders of people's life, builders of our own life, builders of families and home. And it is an awesome job. Start, get the work done. Say amen.
Amen.
Get to it. Because I know what you're doing it. You can be discouraged. You can be weary. But I want you to know, God said that as you do, when your discouragement comes, I will give you courage. When your weariness comes, you will experience the eagle that renew her strength. His strength, He promised His strength empower us to do the work. To you folks that are sitting here, the GCC family, in this new era, be strong and courageous and do it. Get to work. When to do it? Start now. Do not quit, but stick to what God has called you to do and finish it. With His strength empowering you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him. I'm ready, I'm equal to anything through Him who infused inner strength into me. As Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 3, that you may be filled and strengthened in the inner man by the power of His strength, by the power of His Spirit. I want you to know the only way to do God's work is not by human effort, it's not by human strength, but it's by the power of God. And He said, my power will empowers you. The second promise, His presence delivers you from all fear. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fear you or forsake you. When Solomon looked at the size of the job, and I think Pastor Aaron don't have cold feet. When you look at the size of the job like Solomon, you see the risk, the pressure, the commitment that the job demands. Fear can easily immobilize you. But God will always call you to do something bigger than you. If it's not bigger than you, you don't need God. You can do it. It has to be bigger than you. Then you become dependent on God. God, I do not know how. Help me, please. God, we need the money for this. Help us, please, God. You see, His presence delivers you from all fear. Big job brings big possibility, big opportunity, big reward, but also big fear. God is greater than all our fear. Whether it's imaginary or real, God is greater than that. Because fear can freeze you to do nothing. What fear? The fear of failure, the fear of the unknown, the fear of the uncertainty, the fear of comparing yourself with others. I remember the early days, people will come and say to me, Pastor Stewart, your church don't have this, your church don't have that. And I tell them, and when they go, I tell myself, God, they think I'm stupid. They think I'm blind. I don't know that the church don't have. And one day, the Lord taught me, the next time when they tell you that, ask them, what is God telling you? And I noticed when I said that, you see, people will tell you what you don't have. And I want you to know, Pastor Aaron, don't get worried with what you don't have. Because you are only responsible for what you have.
Amen.
What you don't have, you trust God to give it to you. Do not fear. Do not be stressful, alarmed, or anxious. Do not be dismayed, disappointed, or despair. For the Lord, my God, is with you. His presence delivers you from all fear. My God is with you. God, who is personal, real, and covenantal to David, is also to Solomon, to me, and in the last 32 years, and also to you, Pastor Aaron, and the team, as you meet this new era. When you are overwhelmed by challenges, by the day-to-day battle, by what lies ahead of you, do not fear. Do not be dismayed, but rather trust in the indwelling Christ who will deliver you from all fear and give you an open heaven to His presence. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So take comfort and be encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be sieged with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Firstly, His strength. Secondly, His presence. And thirdly, the promise of His faithfulness. His faithfulness helps you to finish the work. He will see to it that everything is finished. Not only finish haphazardly, not only finish the way you want, but finish correctly in God's pattern. His faithfulness. When God calls Solomon to get to work, God is telling Solomon that I have my work for you, and it's not your work, but it's my work. And because it is my work, you are working through me and with me. You are not doing it by yourself. You are to become my hands to do the work. So Solomon needs to realize God's strength empower him to start. God's presence deliver him so that he can continue to do the work. And now God's faithfulness helps him to finish the work. I want you to know the work that God starts is a good work. And He has started the work through you. He will continue the work through you. And He will finish the work through you. His faithfulness to the start, to the continuation, and to the finish of the work. You work. That's what we are. Pastor Aaron, you work. But not only you work. It is actually a fact. God, grace working in you and through you. This is how Apostle Paul put it. And this is what I learned in the last 32 years in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But because God was so gracious and so generous, here I am, and I am not about to let His grace go to waste. Haven't I worked hard trying to do more than any other? Even then, my work did not amount to all that is much. It was God giving me the work to do. God gave me the energy to do it. It is God's work. God said, I will give you the work. I will give you the energy. I will give you the resources. I will be the Jehovah that will provide for you. So, no fear. How does these three promises, His strength, His presence, His faithfulness, work in these 32 years in this place? That's all what I see. GCC began with two brothers, Charles and I. Together with Brother Hoping, we contribute $500 each, 1,005, as the first seed to start the church. All equipment was secondhand, and we used the Innerville Community Center for a few years. Go and set up in the morning before service, pack it up, and when they have party on Saturday, to go early to clean up the toilet and the place. Few years before we move into this place, here is where we see His strength, His presence, and His faithfulness. Hoping and me stand here looking at this building. 353,000, another 150,000 to renovate, 500,000. How much do we have in the bank? Maybe enough just for the 10% deposit. We stand here. You know, they say in China, you stand, you look, and your saliva start to come down. Oh. So we decide that we will buy. We don't have the money. When I came here, and the contractor was here, up to this pillar was where the worship hall is. We came in through that door. From this pillar to the second pillar, that is where we built the three classrooms on top, three offices on top, and where the kitchen is, it was an open yard. I stand here, the builder came to meet me in the morning before I go to work, and he said to me, "You are the pastor of the church." I said, "Yes, I am." And he was shocked. "And where are you working?" I said, "I have to work. If I don't work, where is the money going to come from?" And he looked at me and he said this, "I tell you what I'll do for you. I will renovate the place for you. You will pay me cost plus." And he did that. And God, you see, God is a very faithful God. Months before that, Sister Margaret Seward was in Perth. And she said this to me, "I will get my husband to give you a call and loan you the money if you need to buy a building." And the husband called me when we were looking at this building. My word to Pastor Fred Seward was this: "I cannot take your money. Firstly, because we are relating to Grace Singapore, I need to get their permission before I take your money." It's called what? Integrity. Yes. As a pastor, our integrity is everything. And of course, Grace Singapore stepped in and said, "Look, we will loan you the money. We will own half of that. Later on, you pay us." That's how we started. Later on, we need additional place. We bought the next door. Remember, Pastor Carl, we opened the door so we can go next door to the mezzanine floor. And when we bought next door, the owner, the father is a non-believer, but the son is a Christian, and he said, I will give you my discount, not from my father, but from you, for the church. And it was so wonderful. It's still about God, faithfulness. We bought next door. The front part, we rent it to Goon. Goon, the manager in Sydney, when I got on the phone with him, he said to me, I will pay everything. Your church use electricity, I will pay. Water, I will pay. Even the council rate, I will pay. I will pay everything for the church. And for a few years, they pay everything. We didn't have to pay. Is it not? I mean, and then when the time comes when we had to renovate this place, how did we save $300,000 of renovation? I'll tell you how we do that. An ex-bikey, an ex-convert, not convert, an ex-convict who dropped the bank with a shotgun, just got out of prison. You know, the pastor was here talking about this fella, and I was looking for a tradesman, and he came, and in our conversation, I found he was that person. And he said, I will help you to do the renovation. Thank God. And Pastor Michael Bay was also here. Four of us did most of the work to complete the place. And I'm telling you, thank God for those who come faithfully on the Saturday to clean up the place so that we can have service on Sunday. What is it all about? It is the faithfulness of God. If you trust Him and obey Him, you don't have all the answer. I don't have all the answer. God is ever faithful. This is how we finish this renovation. One day, the owner from unit number 6 came and see me, and he said this to me, I want the church to buy my building unit 6. And this is a man who never liked the church, but he said, I want the church to buy. So I turned around to him, I said, the church cannot afford your price. I told him, the church cannot afford your price because the building is worth $1 million. I said, the church cannot afford your price. And he came again and said, your church should buy, but I will do something for the church. No. And he said to me, I will sell the church for $700,000. Of course, I asked him, what do you say? What do you say? I mean, $700,000 for $1 million. He said, I want to bless the church. I think he must be shocked when he said the church cannot afford and the church pay in cash. It's the faithfulness of God, Aaron. And I'm telling you, he said, not only you buy my place, but I'm already on 95% negotiating with a tenant to rent the place. You can have the tenant with it. Yeah. We didn't have to do anything. Wow. I mean, grace is about His story. His story of grace over us. You know, and we just have to believe. We just have to believe. You know, today, as I pass the baton to Pastor Aaron, I'm thankful that both Charles and Hoping is still in GCC to witness this occasion. Hoping, that was the best investment we ever have for eternity. The GCG story is the story of the grace of God. It's not Stuart Tan. I still wonder why would God use a young elder with a nickname, Raging Bull. That was what I am, a raging bull. A one who will catch things by the horn. Why would God use me to pioneer Grace City Church? I tell you what has happened to me. In these 32 years, I am like an onion being peeled by God. Being peeled by God. God working in my heart while He was using me. I want all you here today, if you ever think of Pastor Stuart, don't think of me as the founding pastor or the pioneering pastor. Don't. Think of me as a brother in Christ. As a brother in Christ who earnestly try to be like Jesus before you. I am nothing. Nothing. History do not need to remember me. I don't need any photograph, anything. All I need is you folks here. See, this is your family. And believe God for your children and your children's children. As GCC transit to the new era, to the new leaders, I call all of you to get to work, to continue to work, and to finish the work so that God can display His character, His glory, His great work to you and the next generation. In this new era, trust God for His strength, His presence, and His faithfulness as promised in 1 Chronicles 28:20. Today, as I pass the baton to Pastor Aaron, I want you to know the mentor of God's anointing and authority and responsibility is a mentor that God lays on you. You cannot say, I want to do it without God laying the mentor on you. As I pass it to you to do and continue the work at Grace CC, GCC, that mentor that has been upon me, God will leave it for me and praise on from you, Pastor Aaron. And it's not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit that energizes, that enables, that empowers you to continue to do the good work that God has already started at GCC. This is my parting message to you as a senior pastor in the next few minutes. Come, Pastor Aaron and Yvonne, would you come? Pastor Mike, Pastor Ian, Pastor Patrick, Pastor Richard. I would like to get him gold, but I don't have the budget. Not even for gold plated, but gold look-alike is okay. Pastor Kara, would you come, Pastor Pauline? One of the most important things of every pastor is to find a successor to look to continue. And I believe God in His grace has given answer the prayer.